Hello from the members of Royce City Methodist Church. Thank you for listening to this podcast. We hope you're blessed by this message today. You're invited to join us for worship anytime. You can learn more about our worship options, locations, and how to get plugged into the life of our church by visiting our website, roycitymethodist.life. Today, we hear from our senior pastor, Reverend Chris Everson. May God bless you as you listen to His Word proclaimed.
I think of that song. That's one of my favorite songs. I remember growing up, we would sing that all the time. In youth group, we would join together wherever we were, and that would be one that we would share because it reminded us, and it still reminds me, we seek God in all that we do. You know, hopefully you are as well, especially in the midst of difficult times. Elephant in the room. We know this is not easy. We know we would much rather be in a permanent place where we don't have to pick up chairs or put out chairs or walk into a room that is not necessarily made for worship. But my friends, every space is made for worship. Every space that we gather is a place for us to say, God, thank you for the gifts that you have given us, and let us fully live into those gifts that we have. I hope you're able to come to the town hall meeting at 3 o'clock today. It's going to have some opportunities for you to write down some of your questions for the board to take a look at. And as we continue to make a way through together, understand that none of us wanted to be here. But this is where God has us today. That's why we're doing this series on the heart of Royce City Methodist Church. We actually was going to stop this series a couple of weeks ago with the heart of discipleship that Pastor Jay preached, but I just felt a call just to do the heart of unity. How do we stay unified as the body of Christ, even in the midst of difficult situations? I had a friend tell me that whenever he hears that a church is doing a sermon on unity, they start looking around and seeing exactly what the troubles are. And that could be true, in a sense, that does happen. But I think it is always important for us to talk about why we stay united as the body of Christ, especially as Royce City Methodist Church. So one of the ways that we do that is we share in a prayer of consecration, which I invite you to join with me as we begin our time together. And for some reason, oh, helps if you turn it on. There we go. Would you please pray with me? Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. Pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear God, we come asking you to open our hearts to your word, asking you to fill us so that we may be the hands and feet of your word to the world around us. God, you have called Royce City Methodist Church to be a beacon of light, of hope to a sin-sick world around us. Strengthen us as we bond together in your love and in your grace and in your peace. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we conclude this series together, I thought it'd be good for us to at least one more time share together in our mission statement. Would you please join me? Royce City Methodist Church exists to glorify God and make disciples by serving together to be renewed and rooted in Christ. I love that opening word, Royce City Methodist Church exists. I love it so much that I did kind of a little deep dive on that word. And the deep dive that I did was comparing two words together, occupy and exist. It kind of be the exact same thing, but to me, in my mind, they are different. When you're occupying a space, you're there. You're just in a presence of being. Now, other people might disagree with this idea, but this is my idea of these two. They're two different words. But when you exist, you're making a difference. You're not just there taking up space. You are doing something that is changing the world around you. And my friends, that's what Royce City Methodist Church has done almost for 140 years. We have existed in the city of Royce City to glorify God, to make disciples by serving together, to be renewed and rooted in Christ. And this is something that hasn't changed, I think, from day one of this congregation to today. We just have to continue to live in and through that so others may see God's love and light in us so that they're saying, let's go. Let's make a difference for Jesus. You know, one of my favorite groups out there, the Blue Angels. Have anybody seen the Blue Angels? If you have, go Navy. If you've had a chance to see them, they put on just some of the most amazing acrobatic stunts in the sky. How many people are in the Blue Angels? Six. There are six that are flying. It's one, two, three, four, five. And that's all six right there. You have four of your main flyers, and you have two that do other solo stuff. That's not all the way accurate. There are 120 members of the Blue Angels. Now, when you look at the Blue Angels, you think, well, no, there's just six. Those are the ones that you see going all over. There is so much that is happening behind the scenes that we don't even know about. But it's all of the 120 that are out there that make it happen. There's show narration, there's fleet maintenance, logistics, public relations, and administration. All of that happens in order for us to enjoy these six Navy men out on the field showing their skills. If it weren't for the other people of the Blue Angels, this wouldn't happen. Could you imagine if that the planes weren't maintained, what would happen? If logistics didn't happen, there would be things that would be missing, that would be dropped off or placed in the next location. If somebody wasn't in charge of PR and gathering people around, the Blue Angels would fly in front of nobody. Every single person of that 120-person team makes a difference. And if you haven't had a chance to see this amazing documentary on the Blue Angels, I know it's on, I think it's on Amazon Prime, called The Blue Angels. It gives you a blow-by-blow of the day-by-day workings of the Blue Angels, and it is absolutely amazing, especially some of the places that some of these members have to live day after day, what they fly in to get from place to place, and how they interact with each other to make this happen. It reminds me, and it lets me realize that more visibility is no way means that it's more important. Yes, the six people who fly are great to see, but those who are invisible on the ground, if they weren't there, those six would not fly. Kind of reminds me of what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 14. Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all of its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jew or Gentile, slave or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Paul goes on to talk about how silly it is when you think about one of the parts of the body that devalues themselves. Well, you know, I'm not a hand, so how can I be as important? Or you know, that thing's a foot. You know, how can a foot really move stuff forward? You know, all of those type of things. That is silly. And we have to think about that as a church as well. Are those that are part of the praise team, are they better than those that are running AV? No. Ushers, are they more important than those that serve at our daily bread? Greeters, are they more important than the office angels that come into work every day and volunteer their time? Those who serve at the good place, are they more important than our children and youth servants? I can hear Paul saying a resounding no. Each one of these ministries does something important to the life of the church, and together they make one. One of the biggest challenges that the Blue Angels do is this formation here. This is called the diamond formation. And when the diamond formation is flown exactly right, they have a distance about 18, I meant to try to measure this out, but I know I'm missing, 18 inches, 3 feet between these airplanes that are flying at 400 miles an hour. Now, this doesn't happen all at once. They don't get up and start doing this the first day. There's actually three different formations that they try to practice. The first one is the fleet formation, which is a standard, what they would say, parade formation is, that they would use in regular shows. They start out there, and then they work down to what's called the blue and gold formation, which is where they're at the 18-inch mark, and they fly and they do sweeps and all this type of stuff in this certain formation. But then there is another formation called the Yankee formation. And if you think 18 inches is something, the Yankee formation is 12 inches. Think about that. All of these four servicemen flying 18 to 12 inches apart as one. Here's another interesting tidbit about this formation. You know, we think the boss or the unit leader is the one that's making everything happen. He's not. The boss is there in that front plane, absolutely. But it's that one at the very end, that last one that's behind the first boss, called the slot pilot, who's in the number four position. He is the one who is looking at the other three pilots and helping them correct their spot as they are flying through the air together. And it has to be precise. It has to be exact, or disaster will happen. Now, I could actually say that if something doesn't go right here in the church, disaster is not going to happen. That's not planned. But are we still worshiping? Yes. Are we still able to sing? Yes. Are we still able to be the body of Christ together even though one screen decided not to work today? Yes. So there are things that we do as the body of Christ that's not life-threatening or life-challenging, but we move forward together knowing that our proclamation of Jesus Christ makes a difference, and that only happens when we're unified. So how does this unity work? It works as we hear from 1 Peter 3, verses 8 through 9. We see these words. Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called so that you may inherit a blessing. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, some people might have a problem with the phrase being like-minded. They think like-minded means that you are a robot doing the same thing as everybody else is doing, but that is not like-mindedness at all. Like-minded means that you bring your differences, opinion to each other, and you live within those disagreements because you have one goal in mind. And the goal that we have as a church is the mission statement that we shared earlier. So what do we do when we disagree? Do we pick up our toys and we go home? No. We look at each other as it says in 1 Peter 3, 9. What do we see here? Be sympathetic, to love one another, be compassionate and humble. Don't repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so you may inherit a blessing. Now, I will say a lot of the stuff that we have going on and things that we may have a disagreement on isn't evil. It's just we may think that we have to do things in a different way, and we have to gather together in order to make those things happen. Or as Jesus says in John chapter 13, a new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so that you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. That word love is a funny word. It can be translated in so many or defined in so many different ways, but the type of love that we talk about as the body of Christ is a sacrificial love. It's a love that doesn't let people run all over you, but it is a love that says, I am going to stand with you through hard times and through good times. And those times that it just feels like things just may not be happening at all. We are going to stand together because that is what the body of Christ is all about. I think one of the biggest stories that helps me see what unity looks like is the story of Thomas. I think I've shared with you all before that Thomas is probably my favorite disciple, because Thomas has done so many things, but frankly, we don't hear a lot from Thomas like we do of Peter or John or James or Andrew, those disciples that kind of had Jesus's ear, those close group of people that were with him. Thomas was one that was kind of there, and we hear some words of wisdom from him as Scripture moves along. The first time that we really hear from Thomas after he is picked as a disciple is in John chapter 11. Jesus is telling the disciples that he's heard about Lazarus, and it's time for them to pick up and go. And they know that the temperature is getting ranked up really high. And they all know that what Jesus is talking about is that those who are in authority are looking for ways to arrest him and possibly even kill him. And as they are talking about this, and Jesus says, we're going to Bethany to go to Lazarus, Thomas is the one that speaks up and says, let us also go, that we may die with him. Kind of one of the other disciples, after Andrew says this, after Thomas says this, to go, whoa, wait a minute here, die? We're going to be dying with Jesus? I don't know about that. But I can see Thomas standing up and being like right behind Jesus, saying, okay, let's go. You're going to Bethany, we're going to Bethany. And the disciples go to see this miracle that Jesus does for Lazarus. The second time that we hear from Thomas is when all the disciples are gathered together at the table. Jesus is washing their feet. He's sharing the Last Supper with them. And he gives them these words, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, because you know the way, you know the place where I am going. And in my own imagination mind, I just think about the disciples looking around at each other going, we have no idea what he's talking about. Maybe whispering to each other, saying, we don't know, we don't know. Thomas, to me, he's the only one who actually just raises his hand and goes, Lord, we have no idea what you're saying. We don't know what you mean. Can you make it plain for us? And then the third time we hear from Thomas, or actually we don't hear from Thomas, is after the resurrection. The disciples are gathered together in the upper room. And the scripture is very clear in saying Thomas was not there. The other 10 were there because Judas was gone already, but the other 10 were already there in the upper room. And Jesus comes and appears to them, and they place their hands in his hand. They place their hands in his hands and their hands in the spear mark in his side. And when Thomas shows up, who knows where he was at, but when he comes in, they're excited because Jesus came and appeared to him. And did Thomas just pout? I don't think so. We hear that he says, you know, unless I place my hands in his nail prints, if I put my hand in his side, then I'll believe. I wonder exactly what Thomas's actions were this last week before he actually saw Jesus again. My guess, because of who I think Thomas is I have a feeling he probably showed up early every single day, just to make sure that he didn't miss out on this opportunity. And I'm sure he was alert, wondering what was happening, where he could have done something that very easily could have been done. It's like, well, since I missed Jesus, I'm going to go. Forget about it. I'm not going to see him, so I'm going to go off and do my own thing. But no. Thomas said, I am going to be there. And the second time that Jesus appeared to the disciples, we see this relationship that even though Jesus does say that gives Thomas this whole false name of being a doubting Thomas, Jesus does say, blessed are those who haven't seen and believe, because the kingdom of God belongs to them. See, even with all of that, Thomas shows us that in order to have unity in the body of Christ, you have to show up. You have to be a part of what's going on. You can't just miss something over here and expect that everything is going to be great. When you miss out on something that God is doing, you have a choice to make. Do I live with a community of faith that helps me grow and nurture in faith, or do I go off and sulk because I didn't get my way? It didn't happen the way that I wanted it to happen. Unity is difficult. Unity is something that we really have to strive in as the body of Christ. Now, when I say unity, that you have to be there, I'm not saying that you can't take the day off, or, you know, that things are going to happen where you can't be there or not. But no, is your mindset that I am going to be connected to the body of Christ no matter what, or I'm going to bail and run when things get hard and difficult? My prayer, my friends, especially as we continue in this difficult season, is that you bear with one another with love. We say together, what is it that I can do to promote the body of Christ to each other, to our guest, to our community, and to the world? Because I know that I know that I know that God has special plans for the people of Royce City Methodist Church. And the plans that God has for this body of Christ is to invite others to come and experience life with us so that they may grow as disciples of Jesus to make a difference in the world around us. Let us pray. Dear God, we pray that you strengthen us, especially in the midst of difficult times. Allow the witness of your love and grace to be a witness that we bear with each other and that we share with the world around us. Being the body of Christ is not easy work. God, it is a work that I absolutely love being a part of. To see people's lives change because of who you are. To see the possibilities of today, tomorrow, a year down the road, 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road. Knowing that as we stay faithful to the call that you have placed on us, to serve together, to be renewed and rooted in Christ, that in that work, we are made one, just as you, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one. So God, we lift this prayer to you. In the name of Jesus, in the presence of Jesus, in the great power of Jesus, our Lord. Amen.